You are now listening to the worship podcast of Open Table Metropolitan Community Church.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's very good to be here this afternoon. This is my first time in Philippines, in Manila, and I want to thank your pastor for trusting me, for giving me the opportunity to serve God and God's people in this afternoon. And it's my privilege indeed to be able to preach before you this afternoon. Today, I would like to preach on John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31, the pastor just read the scripture. And in the very beginning, it says that when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And the reading today has two parts, two major parts. The first part is about the gathering of the disciples on the first day of the week. It is from verses 19 to 23. And the second part is the arrival of Thomas from verses 24 to 31. In the first part, Jesus showed up and appeared to his disciples. In the second part, Jesus showed up again, and this time, Thomas was among them. And the first part of the reading happened on the Easter morning. And then the second part happened a week after Easter. So it was the first Easter in the history of human beings. So I believe in Philippines, you always have great Easter celebration because this is a Christian country, right? And then we celebrate resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Everyone dressed up on Sunday, on Easter morning. And I believe the church, most of the churches are full house. And the service must be long, okay? But I don't think no one would complain about that, right? And then because we are all very excited and happy on Easter. It is very easy to celebrate Easter and resurrection. But it's always not easy to live the resurrection. Because there are days we prefer to stay home, to skip the church. Sometimes we just want to be alone, or to lock ourselves inside the house, or to avoid seeing anyone. Sometimes we just want to hide. We just want to run away. We just do not want to deal with the reality of life. Easter Sunday is always great, but the first Easter was very, very different. Christians love to celebrate Easter, but the first Easter was pretty depressing. According to the Gospel of John, the disciples were locked in the room for the fear of the Jews. And of course, the Jews in John's Gospel means those religious leaders of the day who opposed Jesus. It does not refer to all Jews of Jesus' time, because Jesus and his disciples, they were all Jews too. Because of fear, according to the Gospel, they locked the house. Because of fear, people not only lock their doors in their house, but we also can shut the doors of our lives. Because of fear, we shut the doors of our minds. Because of fear of being hurt, we can shut the doors of our hearts. On the day of resurrection, the first Easter, Jesus' tomb was open, but the disciples' house was closed and the doors were locked tight. They locked themselves in. The house has somehow become their tomb. All this because of fear. So my brothers and sisters, Easter is always great. And I believe you celebrated your Easter in April. But how are you today? 4 months after, or 3 months after Easter celebration, how are you doing? Are you still celebrating life and freedom and full of joy? Or you have closed your eyes and your minds and your hearts and locked out hope and love? Are you behind the locked doors of your life? Are you behind the locked doors of your hearts? What are the closed places of your life? What keeps your life in the tomb? What keeps our lives in the tombs? Maybe like Jesus' disciples, it is fear. People are afraid of everything. One of the fears or phobia that most people here know, of course, is homophobia, right? But besides homophobia, there are many kinds of phobia. In order to write this sermon, I have researched online and found out all those kinds of phobia. Now, one kind of phobia is called anaptophobia, fear of staying single. And there's another kind of phobia, atypophobia, fear of loneliness. And charascophobia, fear of growing old. And glossophobia, fear of public speaking. And there's one more phobia which is very interesting, called retiphobia, the fear of getting wrinkles. So almost every fear has a name. What does it mean? I think it means that whatever it is that frightens you has frightened someone before you. Fear is universal. It touches everyone. But it clearly doesn't stop everyone. Fear is a very powerful emotion. Ironically enough, this powerful emotion can make us powerless. And I want to say this first. Fear is normal. It is a reaction or instinctual response when you feel like there may be a physical and emotional threat and danger coming your way. And these kind of fears are essential to our survival as a human race. But fears can become a problem when people fear circumstances that are far from any real danger and are just imaginary scenarios of the future playing out in our minds. And fears can be highly problematic too when we are afraid to be who we truly are, or when they prevent us from doing the right things. And this is the kind of fear I want to talk about today. Fear is problematic because fear will have you choose what you believe will keep you safe, even when the opposite is true. When we are trapped by our own fears, we then pretend that we are incapable of having what we want. We are forever waiting for other people to give us permission to start living our lives. Fear will tell you, you can't do this, you cannot do that, you are wrong, and the cost is too high. Don't even think about it. Stay where you are. Don't move. Sounds familiar to you? And I believe the opposite of love, I always believe that the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is not hate, but the opposite of love is fear. I believe everything we do, either based on love or based on fear. Why you are here today, right? Why you are a Christian? Because you love being Christian, because you enjoy your relationship with God, or because you are afraid of going to hell, right? Our life is constructed in the choices we make and the actions we take. Every day we make choices. Every day we make decisions. Every day we have to confront with different possibilities of life that shape our future. And with every choice we make in life, either leading us down the same familiar path or help us to move forward to a new future. If you are not happy with your situation now, if you are not happy with your life now, if you want to change your life, then you have to make different choices and different decisions. There's no way you can change your life but refuse to make different choices and different decisions. I believe you have known some people who have always complained this and complained that in their lives, but they never do anything to change their lives. Because every time when they are confronted with new opportunities or new possibilities that can shape their future, they always choose fear. They are afraid to make new decisions. If you do not make new decisions, how could you have a new life? If you continue to live the life you are living now, how could your life be different from what you are having today? Every time we choose fear, we lose sight of our highest aspirations. Every time when we choose fear, we become the victims of our past and we are controlled by our history rather than rising to the future that we desire or that we deserve. Sometimes, when you want to do something new for yourself, fear will tell you. You will make a fool of yourself. Or fear will simply ask you, who do you think you are? What other people would think about you? Fear will stop us from making new decisions. If you live in fear, you will be worrying all the time because worry is another sign of fear. I can't emphasize this enough. Worry is another sign of fear. Because of fear, we become anxious. There's no way we can enjoy our lives if we are worried and anxious. When we are afraid, when we are worried, we always run away from reality. And we always keep running because we try to escape from our fear. We cannot be fully present when we always think about the future. I love to say this. Now, every time when you worry about something or when we worry about something, we always worry about something which is not true, which is not happened, which is not something happening now. You know? For example, you worry that you're going to have cancer, meaning you don't have cancer. If you have cancer, you're not going to worry you have cancer. When you have cancer, you're going to worry, I'm going to die. So when you're worried you're going to die, means you are not dead yet. Right? So when we worry about something, it's always something which is not true. It's not something happening now and here. When we are worried, it's always about future. So when we worry about future, not only future, but something that we imagine, it means we are not really fully present. We are not really living. A lot of people are just existing. People are breathing. People are existing. But they don't live their lives. Are you living your lives? And this is something for us to think about. How can you enjoy your life now and here if you spend your time and energy keep worrying about the future? Actually, I would like to say that worrying, no, it's okay. But too much, being always anxious, is very unhealthy. It is good to be cautious of certain things so that we would think twice before we do it. But the reason for us to worry is not to stop us, but to prepare for the consequences and create an alternative strategy in case it doesn't work out as we wish. But to be anxious and afraid until we are paralyzed and choose to do nothing really stop us and hinder us from exploring our fullest potential. If we are not open to change, it shuts the door for new opportunities. Why people are in fear? Because the future is uncertain and uncertainties always bring along fear. But don't feel bad about yourself if you are afraid, because very few successful people are absent of fear. The difference between these people and us is they feel the fear and yet they still want to do it anyway. Jesus understands human weaknesses perfectly. He knew his disciples were in fear, but he didn't scold them. What is the first thing Jesus said to them when he appeared on the first day of the week, or first Easter, in a locked room? He didn't say, "What the heck are you guys doing here?" You know, he didn't say, "Where were you all when I was crucified?" He didn't say to Peter, "I told you, you would betray me 3 times, and yet you still did exactly the same." No, he didn't say anything like this. The first thing he said to them, and he keeps continuing to say today, is, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." This is the phrase that Jesus said the most in the gospel. Not believe in God, or believe in me, or be Christian. No, but peace be with you. Because Jesus knows fear is our worst enemy. And what we need the most is peace. Then Jesus says something amazing. Jesus said, "I sent you as the Father has sent me, so I sent you." Can you believe? Can you imagine this? This was a group of frightened people. They were hiding in a locked room who didn't even understand what had happened to Jesus. But Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. And I sent you." The dangers were still there. The world didn't change after Jesus appeared to them. The world then was still dangerous to Jesus' disciples. Jesus didn't change the reality, but Jesus changed their hearts. Now they have peace. And because they have peace, they were no longer paralyzed by their fear. They overcame fear because they experienced the resurrected Jesus and the peace given by Jesus. So the next week, the following week, when Jesus appeared again, they were still in the house. But if we look at the Bible, it says, the scripture says, the doors were closed, but was not locked like last time. Jesus has changed their hearts, and they were ready to go out to change many hearts and lives. We have 2.2 billion of Christians today around the world. This Christianity is the biggest and largest religion. But it all started in the locked room. And I believe no more than 20 people. And they were afraid. It was originally a closeted community. In the locked room. And they were all in fear. Jesus didn't change the dangerous reality. Some of them were persecuted. Some were killed later. But Jesus changed their hearts, and they will no longer live in fear. They were still afraid, I believe. They were running all the time from the authority, but they didn't allow the fear to stop them from doing the right things. They chose love instead of fear. Many people are unhappy today because they do not do what they really, truly love to do. What do you do for a living? Do you really love what you do for a living? Many people, they don't love what they do. They live in, but they still do what they do because they live in fear. They choose fear instead of love. If we truly follow what we love, not what is safe and easy, if we really follow what we love, not what someone else wants us to do, we will have more passion and energy. We will achieve higher levels of performance, and we will find greater joy. Most of you here, I strongly believe, you have chosen love at least once. When you decided to come out to be who you really are, you chose love, and you say no to fear. You say no to homophobia. People have told us many things in order to stop us from coming out. Am I not right? I still remember my brother-in-law when I first came out 15 years ago. He is still Anglican pastor. He told me, before I came out to my mom, I came out by publishing my autobiography in my country, so that I don't have to tell everyone, you know. So, and then news, media, and television, they all interview me. But of course, before I did that, I have to tell my mom first, so that I don't want my mom to find out about me on television. But before I told my mom, I told my sister and my brother-in-law first, so that in case my mom was not okay, then my sister and my brother-in-law could say something nice to her. My sister was pretty supportive, but my brother-in-law is kind of like, you know, not okay with me. He was a conservative Christian, not Anglican. And he said, if you come out, your mom would either die from heart attack or commit suicide. Now that's what he said to me. Okay. And it's tough. It's not easy. No? But in order to come out, we always have to overcome fear. And I believe you did the same thing too. No? Life is not easy, even in Philippines, right? You still have to overcome fear to come out. And in 2011, I married my husband in New York when New York passed the gay marriage law. So when we got married, when the news broke out in Asia, I still remember in 2011, I launched my new book in Hong Kong. I published a book in Hong Kong. And then the news, the reporter came to interview me about the book. Okay? So after we finished the interview, and then before they left, the reporter asked me the last question. Oh, he said, New York just passed the gay marriage law. So any plan to get married soon? So I just say, oh, he just proposed to me. So I'm going to get married after I got back from, go back to New York from Hong Kong. And for some reason, it just became a headline news. You know, they forgot about my books. They only remember my wedding. So when I went to Malaysia, the Malaysia newspaper came to me and they asked me, so when are you going to get married? I said, no, on August 31st. And August 31st, it's a national day in Malaysia, our Independence Day. I want to make it political, you know? So I want to get married on Independence Day because this is the day we need to be free from colonization. Even our mind needs to be free from colonization of homophobia too. So, and in Malaysia, we still have sodomy law. And then they asked me, what are you going to do? You know, after you register, I say, next year, I'm going to come back to Malaysia to have a wedding banquet in Malaysia because all my friends and families are here. And of course, those government ministers, they were very angry about me. And the reason is because we still have sodomy laws. No? If you found guilty under the sodomy laws, oral sex, anal sex, they are illegal in Malaysia. They are criminal behavior. If you found guilty, you can be imprisoned up to 20 years. This is the law in Malaysia. So when I say that, I want to come back, but a lot of friends say, oh, this is so dangerous. But I said, I need to do something. So because there's no openly gay public figure in Malaysia. I'm the first one. Unfortunately, I'm still the only one. Right? So the next year to 2012, I decided to have my first to go to Malaysia to have the wedding banquet. And my friend said to me, he was an attorney. He said, they could arrest you. Do you know? If some religious fundamentalists or gangster came to interrupt our wedding banquet, I could always call police officer on behalf of you, okay? But if police officer came, I could not do anything. There's no one to call. So are you sure you want to do that? You know? Of course, I said, yes, I need to do this. I need to do this. And so I did what I needed to do. And to be honest with you, I was afraid too, but I didn't allow my fear to stop me from doing the right thing. And most of you, you did the same thing. You have come out to be who you are. Coming out is never easy. Not even in the United States, let alone in Asia. But you did it anyway. And you have found joy in being who you truly are. So my brothers and sisters, we all did it before. And we can do it again. Coming out of crosses is to come out of fear. You did it before. And you can do it again. It is okay to be afraid. It's human nature to be afraid. Even the bravest people have certain fears that they have had to overcome. Someone said this, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than your fear. What really matters is not because you are afraid. but whether you are courageous enough to accept, to confront, and to take control of your fears, to keep them from restraining you when it comes to the thing you want to do the most in your life. If you truly follow your dreams, if you really want to have the lives you want to have, you don't choose to do what is easy, but you choose to do what is necessary. Jesus knows exactly what his disciples need. He knew what his disciples need to hear and to see and to touch. In his first appearance in the locked room, he showed his disciples his hands and his side. He let them experience him. So my sisters and brothers, I believe we all have experienced God in this church, in MCC Open Table. I believe you have experienced God in your life, and you have been touched by the Holy Spirit, and you also have heard your callings. We are here again today, this Sunday, to be reminded once more that we were not a people, but now God's people we are. We are reminded again every time we come to this church that gay Christian was an oxymoron, but now MCC is the largest LGBTI Christian organization in the world. And more churches have started to ordain gay people. And more countries approve same-sex marriage. Before 21st century, it was no one country recognized same-sex marriage. But now, 19 years later, 2019, we have more than 30 countries and territories recognize same-sex country. And I'm looking forward to seeing Philippines to be the second country in Asia to recognize same-sex marriage. People in the past could not imagine this. No one could imagine this. Not many people could imagine this. But nothing is impossible. By the grace of God, nothing is impossible. And if you truly believe in God and truly believe in yourself, we all can dream the impossible dream. Whatever you are afraid of, remember, God is with you. And peace be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. Holy One, sometimes we are afraid. We are so scared. We feel so vulnerable and exposed. Be with us, God. Let us know that you are near. Fill us with courage. Return us to confidence. Let us feel secure again. We don't want to live in fear anymore. We want to have our lives back. We don't want to feel like a victim anymore. Give us the strength to trust again, to live again, to love again. Help us to embrace all the blessing that surround us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.